time, we'd like to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 7. Looking at the miracle of Christ raising the widow woman's son. And this is recorded in verses 11 through verse 17. It came to pass the day after, he went into a city called Nain. Many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still, and said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up, began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. We see that this is the first of three recorded miracles where Christ raised the dead. And all the healing miracles are types of salvation. They are a picture of salvation. The resurrection miracles are more of a vivid picture than the healing miracles, than all the other healing miracles. We want to today consider this raising of this young man has a picture of salvation. Jonah, having been delivered from the whale, made the statement in Jonah 2 and verse 9 that salvation is of the Lord. That truth is illustrated all through the Word of God in many, many different ways. We have here again a picture of the salvation of a sinner. And the salvation of a sinner, I believe, is the greatest miracle of all. And it should never, ever be reduced to anything other than a miracle, than the miraculous work of God. Many with their evangelistic methods have reduced salvation, what they view as salvation, to anything but a work of God, to anything but a miracle of God. We see, first of all, we have the sinner's condition. We see in verse 12, we read that statement, a dead man. There was a dead man. That's the condition of the unsaved sinner. This is made plain throughout the scriptures. We see in Ephesians 2, verse 1. We see again in Ephesians 2 and verse 5 that in our unsaved condition, we were spiritually dead. That is, in the spiritual realm, we were dead. In the physical realm, we were alive. We walked according to the course of this world. Again, Ephesians chapter 2. But in the spiritual realm, we were dead. Nothing can happen unless something is done by an outside power. If you have a dead person, nothing's going to happen. That person's not going to come to life unless there is something done by an outside power. There are two parties in salvation. You have God, you have man. One is never going to be straight on salvation if they are not straight on those two things, God and man. And most people today who profess to be saved are not straight on God. They lessen God, and they're not straight on man. They magnify man. Now, if you're not straight on the parties involved in salvation, there is no way in this earth that you can possibly be straight when it comes to the miracle of salvation. So something has to be done by an outside power. Notice in John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus, speaking unto Nicodemus, said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except..." Something must be done. "Except a man be born again," that's life, the impartation of life, "he cannot see." Man will not see unless there is an outside power. That power, of course, being God. Verse 5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born," again, life, "of water," which is picture of the Word of God, "and of the Spirit," the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God. "He cannot enter." A dead man cannot accept. Something has to happen from an outside source. We see in John chapter 6, very familiar verse, all these verses are familiar, John 6, verse 44. "No man can come." Again, something man cannot do. Except. Something must happen. "Except the Father which has sent me draw him. And after the Father draws him, I will raise him up the last day." So we have the sinner's condition. He is dead. He cannot act unless God acts first. There are not degrees of death. We see all through the Word of God the Lord taking the initiative. We see that here in Luke chapter 7 in verse 14. "And he came." And he came. This dead man could not come to Christ. Christ came to him. And did he not do so with a purpose? Did he not do so on purpose? Everything Christ does, he does on purpose. Everything he does with a purpose. He came to this man while this man was in his helpless condition. There is a teaching today that man must, though they will not put it in these exact words, this is what it boils down to, that man must make himself savable before he can be saved. As a dead man, you can do nothing. The Lord takes the initiative. He came. He came with everything that this dead man needed. What does a dead man need? More than anything, what does a dead man need? A dead man needs life. That's what he needs. Nothing can happen unless there is life. That's why Jesus said, "You must be born again." That's man's most important need. You must be born again. Because nothing's going to happen until life is imparted. It is true. Man must believe. Man must repent. But he's not going to do any of those things without life imparted. Those things are a result of the life that is imparted. We see he came with everything that this man needed. He came with compassion upon this man. We see also, not only did he come, but he came into contact. It says in verse 14 that he touched the bier. He touched the bier, that is, the casket. He came into contact with the dead man. And no one will ever be saved unless the Lord comes to them. And unless the Lord comes in contact with them, The Lord came with power, power over death. He came with authority over death. Jesus Christ is the Savior. He has power to save, and he has authority from God to save. He was sent. He is the Christ. He is the sent one. He has authority from God to save. So we have the sinner's condition. The sinner is dead. We have the Lord coming to the dead man. We have the Lord coming into contact with the dead man. In verse 14, it says, "And he said, Young man, I say unto thee." Jesus spoke to the dead man. And when Jesus spoke to the dead man, and he spoke directly to the dead man, he spoke with power. And when he spoke, he imparted life. The very words of Christ imparted life. And he told this dead man to do something that he could not do except life be imparted to him. What he told the dead man was, arise, get up. The dead man can't do that. But obviously, when Jesus Christ said that word, arise, there was life-giving power with that word. Notice in Luke chapter 8, verse 54, we see Jesus raising the daughter of Jairus, and he spoke directly to her, saying, "Maid, arise." He spoke directly to her, telling her something that she could not do. In John chapter 11, Jesus raising Lazarus from the grave, he said, "Lazarus," spoke directly to him, "Lazarus, come forth." So Jesus comes, he speaks directly to the dead individual, and there is the impartation of life. Notice verse 15 of Luke chapter 7. "And he that was dead. That means he's no longer dead. Did he impart life to himself? Did his mother impart life to him? Did someone in that crowd impart life to him? No, when Jesus said, arise, life was imparted. The Word of God has life-giving power, and the Spirit of God uses that. Notice in John chapter 11, again, we have the resurrection of Lazarus. In John 11, verse 44, "And he that was dead." He that was dead. So we see that statement three times, each time when Christ raised someone from the dead. We see it with the widow's son. We see it with the daughter of Jairus. We see it with Lazarus. He that was dead. In other words, life was imparted. And once life was imparted, there was a manifestation of that life. Notice verse 15 of Luke chapter 7. "He that was dead sat up." That's a manifestation of life. Life is imparted to the dead sinner. That's the new birth. The dead sinner now manifests life. He now responds to the command of God. The command here being, arise. The dead man, he that was dead, sat up. He couldn't sit up until life was imparted. And once life was imparted, there was a manifestation of that life. Notice Luke 8:55. Again, we have the daughter of Jairus. "And her spirit came again," that's life imparted, and she arose. That's life manifested. When one is, you know, people will say, well, you can be born again without knowing it. That's ridiculous. That's one of the most stupidest statements an individual can make. You cannot be made alive and not know it. You cannot be brought from death and not know it. You're going to know it, and there's going to be a manifestation. Notice in John 11, verse 44, he that was dead came forth, did exactly what the Lord told him to do. Lazarus, come forth. He that was dead, he didn't do it while he was dead, but life was imparted. So the call is effectual. It brings forth an outward change. It brings forth a very manifest change, and this is again the picture of salvation. Then notice back in Luke 7, verse 15, he that was dead sat up and began to speak. Again, he's manifesting to all the people there that a miracle has taken place, and he, Jesus, delivered him to his mother. And when that happened, you cannot even begin to imagine the joy and the rejoicing that took place. And when the Lord saves a sinner, it is a time of true rejoicing. But then notice also verse 16, and we'll close. There came a fear and awe, and they glorified God. This was a salvation that caused people to reverence God. Repeat these words, repeat this prayer. I'm sorry, that does not cause one to reverence the Lord. Great fear came upon them, and they glorified God because they realized that a miracle had taken place. Do you think that there was one individual in that crowd that said, you know, I had something to do with that? Do you think anybody in that crowd believed that they had anything at all to do with that man being raised from that casket? No. Yet today, people will say, so-and-so led me to the Lord. And people take around, that's pitiful. You had nothing to do with it. Nothing at all. God may have used you to preach. God may have used you to tell them. But nothing would have happened if God did not impart life, if God did not work the miracle. It makes me sick when I hear people give credit to man for their salvation. There wasn't anyone in this crowd that got the credit. The widow woman, oh, I'm so glad I raised them right, and now look what's happened. It has nothing to do with it. If that had something to do with it, then folks, the only people who could be saved were those who were raised right. Be the only ones that has nothing at all to do with it. That you come from a so-called Christian family has nothing to do with it. They glorified God. And all through the Bible, I see that God gets all the glory for the salvation of a sinner. And we must make sure that we never give that glory to anything or to anyone else but to the one who saved our soul. Let's look to the Lord.